Turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 55. But we're going to look at a pretty simple, and I don't want to call it a shallow truth, but it is a pretty simple truth, but so needed in our day and time today. If you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you are physically able, we're going to read verses 1 through 9 here in Isaiah 55. And again, I will read the odd verses because I'm odd, and you get to read the even verses because you're so nice and even. And we're going to read together here, responsibly, if you will, verses 1 through 9. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread? And your labor for that which satisfieth not. Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. I mentioned just a minute ago how distracted we often are. I'm not going to name names. The names have been changed to protect the guilty. And, you know, they always say that, you know, right? The names have been changed to protect the innocent. I guess the guilty don't need to be protected. But, you know, and guys, I might be a traitor today, but we drive down the road. And sometimes, look here, and look here, and look here, and look here, and the car's going back and forth along the road. And our wives are saying, watch the road! Ah, watch out! You know, all these things. I don't know who that would be talking about, but maybe me. But, you know, we get distracted by it. We're not looking at the right things, yes? In the old days, and I'm not calling anybody here old by any stretch, but they had these things called horses and carts, right? And all the harnesses and things that go with the horses. And in usually out on the farm, it wasn't a big deal, but when they had horses and buggies and things in town, it was a big deal. The horses would get distracted, right, by all the different things, barking dogs or this or that or whatever, people, movements, and such and so forth. And they put these things on them, right? And to keep the horse focused, right? To keep them looking at the right thing. And in our lives today, can I tell you something? We need some blinders put on our eyes, and we need to be looking at the right things. There you go. Yeah, this book will do that for us. But, you know, we don't always have a Bible with us, and we'd look pretty silly walking around town looking like this or trying to drive in a car looking like this, right? But can I tell you something? That we need to be careful what we're looking for. We're always looking for the wrong things, it seems like, and the flesh certainly is set on looking for the wrong things. You know, in the last days, the Bible tells us that there's going to be people
heaping unto themselves teachers, having itching ears. They're always going to be looking for something new, something more exciting, something different. Can I tell you today, I don't want something different. I don't want something new. I like old things. Okay, I do. I do. I like them a lot. And that's why I love some of you so much. But you know, the thing about it is, folks, we got to be careful what we're looking for. We've got to be careful what we're looking for. Here in Isaiah 55, the prophet speaking says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye and buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price." Wait a minute. Come buy without money, without price? What is he saying? Wherefore, do ye spend money for that which is not bread? Well, I don't understand that. And labor for that which satisfieth not. Hey, can I say to you, it sounds like the prophet is saying, what are you looking for? You're looking for the wrong things. You're laboring for things and doing things that don't satisfy, and they're unprofitable, and they're not good for anything. He says, eat that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. And all the Baptists said, amen and hallelujah. I'm working on that. It says the righteous soul shall be made fat. Okay, I'm not quite righteous enough yet. But can I tell you, we've got to know what we're looking for, and we've got to be looking for the right things. So what is it that we're supposed to be looking for, and what is it that we're supposed to seek after? Well, he does say in verse 6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. And can I tell you today that we have got to be looking for the right thing. And that right thing is the Lord. Yeah. It's the Lord. Is the Lord your focus? We already know the Bible tells us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We're to be focused. In the book of Matthew, it tells us that if our eye be single, it'll be full of light, right? And if it's not, there's darkness and all that. We've got to be looking for the right thing. And that right thing is the Lord. And we need to be seeking him. Go over to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. You may be familiar with this passage of scripture. I love this passage of scripture. I actually have a couple of different messages that I've written, and also many others that I've heard on this passage of scripture. But this is a sermon. This is a passage of scripture where Paul is preaching to the learned people of Athens. Okay? How'd you like to preach to that crowd? No thank you, right? But listen, he knew exactly what to say. And he knew exactly how to get their attention. He knew exactly what to show them to look for. So look here at verse 22. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. So let me tell you what he said there. Y'all are looking for the wrong stuff. Yeah. You're too superstitious. You're looking for the wrong thing. You're not looking for the Lord. You're not looking for the right thing. So he says, for as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. They got their attention. They like, hey, you have this altar here. You pray to it. You worship it because you have to study the Athenians at that time. They didn't want to offend any god. Yeah. And so in not wanting to offend any god, they were offending the God. Oh, okay. You got that. Hey, watch out. We're too busy in our world today, not wanting to offend anybody else. We end up offending the one that matters. We've got to be careful in our life who we're seeking after or what we're looking for. So Paul says he's going to declare God unto them. God that made the world in verse 24 and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything. Seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. Why? Why did God do all of this? Well, he tells us here in verse 27 that they should seek the Lord. That they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we all are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Here we go. We're getting into the thing we're supposed to be looking for. Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. Who? Jesus. Yeah. Repent. And turn to Jesus. Anybody heard that one before? Oh, yeah. That's called salvation. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. Isn't that what happens when the gospel is preached? You know why? Because that's not what they're looking for. It's not what they're looking for. Others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. Why? It's not what they're looking for. But then it says, so Paul departed from among them. Howbeit, certain men clave unto him and believed. You know why? They found what they were looking for. Yeah, they were looking for Jesus. Can I tell you? There's a puzzle piece missing in the being of every single human being, and the perfect size and shape is that of Jesus Christ. Amen. It's the only thing that will fill the void that's in us, is the Lord Jesus Christ. They're looking for the wrong thing. They fill it with everything else they can think of. The pleasures of this world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And it cannot fit. They're looking for the wrong thing. They're looking for the wrong thing. We back in Isaiah 55, he says that, why do you buy and these things that were for, and spend money for which is not bread and labor for that which satisfieth not? You can ask the same thing to the lost. Why do you try to fit that all these other things in that place where only Jesus can fit? Because they're looking for the wrong thing. They're not looking for the Lord. The Lord should be sought. And we should happily feel after him and find him. Because he's not far from any one of us. I was talking to a lady yesterday, and she mentioned how she in her life had some adverse circumstances and felt like she had gotten far away from the Lord. She said something that really sparked my thought. She said, I'm trying to find my way back to him. I just wanted to look at her, and she said, just turn around. He's right there. He's not far away. We've just got to seek the Lord. We've got to look for him. And look for him And that's what we should be looking for. You see, when we look for Jesus, we find him. Yeah. When you look for him, he wants to be found. Remember what it said back there in Isaiah 55 verse 6. He said, seek the Lord. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. Isn't that amazing? Is God merciful?
Yes, sir.
Yes. Is God full of compassion? We talked about that already, didn't we? We know that that's the truth. That God wants to be found. Can anybody think of a circumstance where you say, well, no, that person cannot be saved? Why? Why can't they be saved? Well, because they did this. Or because they did that. Well, that's not what my Bible says. It says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
Hey, we believe in a whosoever God.
Yes, sir.
And he's looking for us to look for him. He wants us to find him. He wants to be found. God is not good at hide and seek. He's not. Oh, we say, okay, God, let's play hide and seek. All right, I'll count to 10. 1, 2, 3, 4. Here I am. You know, he's basically waving at us. I mean, come on. He's not hiding from people. Paul very eloquently stated to the Athenians that, hey, God wants us. He's made us in such a way to seek him, to seek after him. Hey, can I tell you, man is looking, but sometimes they're looking for the wrong thing. They're not looking for the Lord. We need to seek the Lord. And also, as Christians, we need to seek the Lord while he may be found. God wants to be found. He wants to be known of men. He says that he wants all to come to repentance. He wants all to be saved. He wants everyone to have a home in heaven and have eternal life, knowing that they all will not. But his desire is still. You know, it doesn't say, for God so loved a few that he gave his only begotten son. Huh? Doesn't say that. No, it said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Yeah, I think that word whosoever is in there, isn't it? Yeah. Oh, you mean anybody? Yeah. I mean anybody. Anybody that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He wants to be found. We've got to look for Jesus. And we need to seek the Lord while he may be found. He says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Go over to Matthew chapter 6. We need to seek the Lord. The lost need to seek the Lord. The saved need to seek the Lord. And we'll get more into that as we close out today. I don't want to get ahead of myself there. We need to seek the Lord. We also need to seek something else. Look here in verse 33. He says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. You know, the Bible says that all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. You know, the good works that we do are not good enough. Not good enough. But God's righteousness is perfect. The Bible says that we need to be clothed with righteousness. And it's not our righteousness, it's the righteousness of Christ. Jesus Christ is the righteous. He is righteousness. And we need to seek righteousness. You say it's the same thing as seeking the Lord. I know. Isn't that wonderful? It's not different, but it is. We need to seek righteousness. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. You know, this passage of scripture from verse 19 through verse 34 is talking about our viewpoint of what we're looking for. Look what he says in verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Well, and back in Isaiah it says, Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye and buy and eat, and come and buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and where your labor which for that which satisfieth not? That sounds a lot like this. Where they're looking for the wrong thing. And in our lives, we're looking for a career path and a bank account and material possessions and this and that and everything else. We're not looking for righteousness. And that also has to do with looking for the Lord. Seeking after His kingdom. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. He said, if we're looking for His kingdom first and for His righteousness first, then are we focused on the material possessions? No, we're not. We're not looking for the wrong things. We're looking for the right things. And he continues on. Remember, I told you this about the light. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Hey, does anybody associate righteousness with darkness? Nope. Does anybody associate righteousness with light? Yes. Yes, we do. Why? Because it is. That's why. He says, but if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. And therefore the light that is in thee be darkness. How great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. That's why he says to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Why? So our eye can be single and we can be full of light. Be full of light. Do not confuse salvation with righteous living. Do not confuse the two. You know, a lot of people, they're trying to get into these different movements and these different ideas today. Let me make it very simple for you. Ye must be born again. Okay, it's very simple. And that is the beginning of life. It is. Once you are born again, separate event, now you can live unto God. Okay? Without salvation, you cannot live unto God. Because you're not saved. You're not born again. You do not have new life in Christ without salvation. So ye must be born again. You must be saved. You must have eternal life. You must seek the Lord while he may be found. If haply you might feel after him. And all those things that Paul said to the Athenians. And we know that some believed. They believed. Some of those Athenians were saved because of what Paul said about Christ. And we, some of us, have been born again. And now we can seek righteousness. Because he said, if your eye is evil, then your body is full of darkness. And if your light is darkness, he said, how great is that darkness? You understand that we must be born again to live a righteous life. We cannot do something we don't have a part of. We can't. How can you say, I'm going to live in righteousness when you have no righteousness? Our righteousness is Jesus Christ. Yeah, it is. Our righteousness is not our own. In and of ourselves, we do not possess righteousness. But Jesus does. Jesus is our righteousness. We can seek righteousness after salvation. But we must be born again. In Isaiah 51 verse 1 it says, "Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord." Okay, that's first, right? Seek the Lord. And those that follow righteousness, he says, "Look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged." That's Isaiah 51:1. I love that passage of scripture. It talks and says, hey, now that you're born again, you can be righteous because you're hewn out of that rock. You're a chip off the old block now. And that block is Jesus. And we are like him. Or we are to be like him. We're to be conformed to his image. What's his image? Righteousness. Yeah. We need to seek after righteousness. We need to look for it. In Hosea 10:12 it says, "Sow to yourselves in righteousness. Reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you." Isn't that a wonderful phrase? God, rain righteousness upon me. I've dug up my ground. I'm ready to just rain it down. Righteousness. Hey, listen. We're not saved because of good works. We're saved unto good works. We ought to want to do what's right. Hey, are you looking for opportunities to do what's right? I went to the store. And I had a bunch of things. And I thought I had placed everything on the conveyor belt. But I was at Aldi. And you know, Aldi, you have to either buy the bags or use the boxes that they have in the store. And I guess I had set something in a box and it stayed in the cart and rolled around there. But I got out to the truck and I was putting the things in the truck. And I noticed this item. And I thought, I don't think they rang that up. I didn't say, "Oh, freebie. Yeah. Thank you, God. What a gift. You gave me something for free." No. No. I took the item. I got my receipt out. I looked and made sure. Nope, not on there. I took the item. I took my receipt. I went back into the store. I said, I think we forgot to ring this up. I said, I don't want to steal anything from y'all. I want to be right, folks. I'm seeking it. I want to be right. Where's the people of God that are going to have the attitude and the mind of God to want to be right? We're not looking for loopholes. We're not going, I don't have to give this guy forgiveness because, you know, he did such a... Why are we thinking that way? We need to seek righteousness. We need to look for it. And we ought to want to be right. Zephaniah 2:3 says, "Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger." Hey, back in Matthew chapter 6, didn't he just get done talking about all the things in Matthew chapter 5 and blessed are the meek and blessed are the righteous, blessed are the poor in spirit, all these, right? All these things he talked about in the Beatitudes, right? And all these things that should happen. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We ought to be seeking righteousness, looking for it. And it says here in Zephaniah that it may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. Yeah. 1 Timothy chapter 6 says, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness." Boy, we need some believers that are going to look for righteousness. What are you looking for? Are you looking for a way to get out of something? Are you looking for a loophole? Or are you looking just to be righteous? To do right? We need to look for righteousness. We need to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. We know the word of God is a place to find righteousness. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verses 16 and 17 say, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." Why? That the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. Are you throughly furnished? Are you? Are you looking to do what's right? Are you seeking righteousness? And when we do seek righteousness, we are seeking the Lord because He is the righteous. One of His names is Jesus Christ, the righteous. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 9, He says, "In this I pray, that your love may abound, yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve the things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere, without offense, till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God." Yeah. Yeah. Because it's not about me, folks. And it's not about you. It's about Him. Seek the Lord. Seek righteousness. And then I told you that this one was very similar, a close cousin, we'll call it, to seek the Lord, is seek His face. Seek His face. Now, when we're looking for, and we're lost, and we're looking for that peace that won't, nothing else can fit, we're seeking the Lord for salvation, to be born again. We're calling upon Jesus, just like the thief on the cross who said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And we're seeking the Lord that way. But now that we know Him, now that we have salvation, now that we're seeking after righteousness and living and conforming to the image of His dear Son, Jesus Christ, we're conforming to Him, and we're trying to gain the mind of Christ, and we're growing in grace, and we're doing the things that God wants us to do. Now there's a different view. Now we're looking for righteousness. We're looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. But can I tell you something? Now we need to seek His face. What does that mean exactly? What does that mean when you want to look in someone's face? You know what? That means that He has our attention. That we're seeking fellowship. I could take you to 1 John chapter 1. That verse is not about forgiveness. That verse is about fellowship, folks. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just. That's not a salvation verse. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's fellowship. Restoration of fellowship. Hey, when I want my kids' attention, you know where I want them to look? Face to face. I want them to seek my face. I don't want them looking over here, looking over there, looking down. I want to look them in the God-given eyeball right there. Yeah. My father drilled it into me. Son, when you're talking to somebody, look them in the eye. Look them in the eye. Why? Why do we do that? Shows they're paying attention. Right? Shows that connection there. That fellowship. We need to seek the face of the Lord. In 1 Chronicles 16:11, it says, "Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face continually." In Psalm 105, verse 4, it says, "Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face evermore." We need to stay in touch with God. When you wake up in the morning, what are you looking for? Are you looking for relationship? Are you looking for fellowship? Are you looking for God? You say, "Well, I already have salvation." Yes, you do. What about fellowship? What about fellowship? How badly do you want to talk to Him? Do you or don't you? Which one? Do you love Him? We love him because he first loved us, the Bible tells us. Well, listen, I'm privileged to have a wife. It's a privilege, guys. Don't grumble. Now, listen, I do like to talk to her. It's kind of nice to talk to her. Yeah. I do like to just kind of look at her face. You know? It's kind of nice. Come on, all you married guys. Come, give me a break, will you? A few amens. Okay, come on. But it's isn't it nice? Now listen. Shouldn't we love God more than that? But yet we don't want to look in his face. We don't want to just stare and go, we'll do that on a physical level, but why not a spiritual level? Seeking the face of God. Hey, God, let me just look at your face. I just want to focus on you and just stare. Why not? What else do we got to look for? What else is more important than that? To seek the face of God. Go to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Remember, Solomon indeed was wise. Unfortunately, he had a little bit of a sidestep toward the end of his life. He got his eyes off the prize, if you will. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, wonderful chapter of scripture. You ought to just read this over here. How about Solomon prays in chapter 6, the instituting of the temple and all this stuff. And but he prays here in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 12. I want you to listen to what the Lord says after all this is done. Okay, because in verse 11 it says, thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house and all that came in Solomon's heart to make in the house of the Lord and in his own house. Prosperously effected. But look at verse 12. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. You know, God wants us to be close to him. But there are some conditions to that closeness. He's not going to stand and let us see his face if we're not right with him. That's why there are verses like 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hey, you know what, folks? We need to seek the face of the Lord. We need to do what it says in Psalms, glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Glory in his holy name. Remember the holiness of God and seek his face. In closing, let's go to Psalm 24 and look at this Psalm of David. Wonderful psalm, just 10 verses. But I think it gives the essence of looking for the face of God and seeking his face and fellowship with him. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. Can I just say, time out? That's those who seek righteousness. Then he shall receive the blessing. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah. Hey, folks, we're just distracted. Sometimes I don't think we know what we're looking for. Even as believers in Christ, we have salvation. We've seen Jesus face to face, if you will, by accepting him as our Savior. And maybe even we're seeking after righteousness and seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. But maybe sometimes we're just not really seeking his face continually. We're not really seeking his face evermore. We're not really longing for and desiring for that intimate relationship with God. We ought to be. Maybe we're just looking for the wrong thing. Maybe you're here today and you know not the Lord. You've tried to fill your life with everything else except Jesus. Can I tell you? Seek the Lord and he'll be found. Maybe you're a believer, you're a Christian, you're born again, and your life, you're living for yourself. It's not a life of righteousness. It's not a life of holiness. It's not a life of godliness. Maybe you should seek some righteousness. Maybe today you're doing those things. You found salvation. You found the Lord in salvation. You found righteousness in the living a life for Christ. But maybe that relationship is not as close as it should be. Maybe it's not as intimate as it should be. When's the last time you just looked into the face of God and just stared? We ought to restore that. We have to restore that. What are you looking for? Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. What are you looking for?